We continue to prepare ourselves for corporate proclamation of the gospel at the table of the Lord by a devotional series on the person of Christ incarnate and the work of redemption. Today we consider the familiar communication of Paul to the local church in Philippi, Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8 this morning. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. As we've sung in this hour, as a congregation, there is a specific and detailed, historically based rationale upon which we see God the Son giving himself on our behalf. How we thank you, how we praise you for the love gift of Christ on the cross. And as we've just sung, two wonders come to heart and mind. The first wonder is our unworthiness. Oh, God, we do not deserve a thing. But the second wonder is thy redeeming love. That love that was poured out at Calvary. It's that truth that we would preach this morning as a congregation together at the table of our Lord. And we would attend to the truth of the text, which in a high and holy way represents that great truth of gospel, that great truth of salvation. That legal and forensic truth and rationale upon which our souls can be known to be secured in Jesus Christ. And yet, we see thy apostle Paul using the truth of the cross in an additional way, making it bear upon thy people as to the example of Christ concerning obedience all the way to the cross. Likewise, we pray that you would help us today to embrace the humility of Christ and the obedience of Christ in our own lives as believers in Jesus Christ, having been benefited by the gospel of grace. Thank you. We praise you. Help us now as we attend to the text in preparation for our preaching. We ask in Jesus' name and for his blessed sake. Amen. The joy that is referenced in Scripture is always particular. It's never just joyful. There's always a reason. The joy of Scripture is always a particular joy. Like when the angels witnessed much of Creation Week. Like when David defeated Goliath. Like when Nehemiah and Ezra restored worship in Israel. In Philippians 2:2, the believer is called to fulfill a particular joy. That is one of 155 references in the Scripture that leads us to a particular joy of reference. And this one specified by the Apostle Paul in his little letter to Philippi. In Hebrews 13:1, there's a reference to pastoral joy, a particular pastoral joy when the flock follows and obeys the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, there is a particular joy of a coming day, a coming great day, when the Lord rewards those that suffer for his namesake during the days of their earthly sojourn. In 3 John 4, there is a particular joy that is attached to children that walk in the truth. All the joy of the New Testament is particular joy. And when Paul wrote to the Philippians, he wrote of a relational joy in Christ based upon the gospel of Christ, which we preached together today. Paul wrote of a relational joy of Christ and a relational joy from Christ as a particular joy. And then in chapter 2, with one of the highest expressions of the cross in the gospel ever to be found, Paul does a thing that unnerves us as conservatives. And that is that Paul, in Philippians 2, talks about Christ and the cross of Christ as its example to believers as to how they should live. Now, the reason why that unnerves conservatives is that we are so wary of the liberal mindset that everything concerning Christ and the cross was just a good example. That we almost don't want to even say those words. We rather stay acutely focused upon the forensic, legal, rationale, ramifications of the gospel of Jesus Christ as related to the great doctrine of justification. And of course, you know, Paul is no stranger nor slight communicator concerning justified by faith in the cross, in the gospel. And yet that said, Paul didn't blink an eye, nor was he halt to speak of Christ as the believer's great example in how to live on earth. And so Paul writes of the humility of Christ, and Paul writes of the obedience of Christ in order to say that you and I ought to be truly humble and obedient as was our Lord, knowing that as he humbled himself with the promise of exaltation, that likewise we in Christ ought to humbly obey, knowing of God's promise of exaltation. The idea of being Jesus-like, or like Jesus, is something we used to sing about a lot. We now are using two hymnals in this congregation, one black, one blue. Black and blue is not normally a good thing, but it is around here for hymnals. But nonetheless, neither of the hymn books have this song, "Be Like Jesus." This my song in the home and in the throng, be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. That's a good song. And it really parallels the truth of Philippians 2, 5 to 8. The idea of being Jesus-like in the days of earthly life is the point of these few verses connected to unparalleled profundity. Grammatically, these verses are a balanced prose of rhetorical rhythm. Many scholars concluding that the section is indeed a well-composed hymn often sung in the early church. Theologically, the verses plumb the depths of the technical majesty and glory ever and always to be associated with the Lord Jesus. And it is interesting that scripturally, only John chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1 come anywhere close to the Christological significance of the verses we've just read. Yet the point of Paul is very simple. And the simple point of Paul is this: God the Son was humble and focused upon others purposefully. We should be like Jesus. In the context of an appeal to gospel-worthy living, Paul cites as the ultimate example of such living the person of our Lord. So when Paul writes, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, let this attitude be your attitude," in reference to Jesus Christ, he is simply saying, be humble and others directed, as was your Lord, in obedience to God. This is the mindset that made the gospel the gospel. And this is the mindset that believers are to live as gospel-worthy lives. There's only one way to be saved, amen? And there's only one way to live after you are. And I would not call for you to say amen, lest hypocrisy jump from your lips. But it's nonetheless the Bible truth. One way, and only one way, to be saved. And there's only one way to live after you are. And God's people for generations have conveniently forgot that one way of living, which is the way of Christ. The statement that we have read is a glorious statement on the condescension of God the Son relative to the glory of incarnation. Kent Hughes calls this the Christological centerpiece and jewel of the book of Philippians. Peter O'Brien likens our text to the soaring, unanswerable language of a Bach cantata, which is best understood by being heard all the way out to its end and then heard again in review. Greek scholar A.T. Robertson says plainly, Paul is making practical use of the incarnation of Christ to enforce the great lesson of humility as essential to the local church family. We usually speak of the gospel as to its legal ramifications relative to our salvation. But this text speaks to the gospel as to its practical ramifications, as to the way in which we live. Just for the sake of context, I would say that Paul cites humility in the light of the person and the place of God the Son before incarnation in verse 6. And then Paul cites humility in the light of the divine choice and incarnation at the time in which it took place, verse 7. And then this morning, just for a few moments longer, we look at how Paul's citing concerning the humility and the obedience of Christ in light of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, as it's found in verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It is strange that God the Son, become man, would be humble. He became human and submitted to the work of a slave. That's strange. More than that, he became obedient all the way to the cross. That's strange that God, become man, would be humble and obedient. It was the eternal decree of God that the heavenly sinless one would die once for all, a sacrificial death on the cross for the purpose of saving mankind in the will of God the Father. God the Son, slave, died on behalf of sinful human beings everywhere. That is the core truth of the gospel that we preach together, the legal, forensic rationale upon which a person moves from darkness into light. That is not the emphasis of our text, in which our imperative verse 5 is, let this mind, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The practical purpose is brought to bear in our text. Christ was humble and obedient. All Christians ought to be humble and obedient. That is Paul's appeal in this particular text as read. Particularly, we note that Paul is arguing from the greatest of examples, Jesus Christ, to the lesser, you and me. Paul wanted this Christ-like humility to dominate all things and all people in the local church. Oh, that we might think and do as our Lord. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. At this table, the gospel is preached by all believers in attendance. And in the remembrance of the gospel, the humility and obedience of Christ is placed once again on display that you and I might follow in his steps. You and I will preach the truth of Christ together today at the table. and I trust will prayerfully seek God for the attitude of Christ, that God might be glorified, not only in the preaching of this hour and the partaking of the elements and testimony, but in the living of life before God this week. Let's pray. Father, as recipients of the glorious gospel that you have provided to us by the cross of Jesus Christ, we, your people, now preach. We show, demonstrate the Lord's death here and now, until he returns. But Father, as the text makes clear, individually, personally, we are to let, to allow, to give way to the humble and obedient attitude of Christ in our own lives as the followers of Christ. And so may we, even now, in this moment of prayer, prepare ourselves to preach the gospel together. By preparing to preach the gospel individually, letting the mind, the attitude of Christ, be our attitude and mindset right here and right now. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his blessed sake. Amen.